Welcome everybody to Shir and Drummond. Welcome to the nightly Shir. This week's parsha is Parshas Korach, and as they say, Bnei Korach lo mesu, that the children of Korach never passed away, and that means that there's always going to be some form of machlokas in the world. And I think that what our challenge in life is that it's very easy for us to find something that we don't like about our neighbor, our friends. Our challenge is to rise above and to, as my father Hashem would say, it's instead of saying Lashon Hara, you should try to say a joke. So never easy to say a joke, but it's quite easy to say Lashon Hara. And we find that when it says Vayikach Korach, Korach was upset about three things. Number one, he was upset that Moshe was the lead, being the child of Amram. But then there's another brother that was in line, Korach's father, Yitzhar. So he said, well, if Moshe is going to lead the Jewish people, then the kahuna should go over to Yitzhar's son. That would be me. So he was upset that he did not get the kahuna and that it was placed over to Aaron. The second was that all of the Rashi Shiftei Ka, all of the tribal leads, tribal heads, did not have an equal representation, because again, that was something that was taken by Aaron, a Kohen. And the third taina is that the Mishkan itself did not offer equal access. And in Korach's opening argument, he said, we are all Kulam Kedoshim. Why do we have to separate ourselves in this way? And this actually sounds a little bit like the idea that Nadav and Avihu had pressed forward back in Parsha Shemini, where they felt that there should be equal representation across the board. But even more than this, that they felt that we were all endowed divinely so by Hashem. And if that's the case, then why is it that there should be any separation and responsibilities? All of us have equal access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, we go back to this topic and we understand, of course, that this was all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem desired that the kahuna should rest with Aaron HaKohen, and that this was also a reconciliation of sorts when we think back of the brothers at the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, where one says, Hashem Achi Anochi, where Cain and Hevel were unable to get along, and there were disagreements, not just between those two brothers, but then throughout the Sefer Bereishis, there was always disagreement between brothers, between Yitzhak and Yishmael, then between Yaakov and Esav, and then between the Shiftei Ka, until we finally culminate at the end of Sefer Bereishis by saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and that was meant to inform all of us that the Echad is the Gematria 13, which is the Shiftei Ka plus Yaakov. And they were saying to their father that when we were children, and if you look back at all the episodes, we didn't get along, but now we are united. And this is what gave Yaakov Chias life on his deathbed, that Klal Yisrael were going to help each other. And that's why the Pasuk says, Ish asher b'chaso berach osam, not oso, not an individual blessing, but collectively, we were all going to help one another get through the trials and tribulations that we call Galus today. And when Moshe and Aaron are introduced in Sefer Shmos, the Medrash Rabbah brings down, that the brothers are united. And this is how I think perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the brothers, not first cousins, but rather a closer relationship, that should spearhead the future discussion points. And when we think about this, we think about the Kedushas Levi's opening to Parshas Korach, that says that Bamidbar is Bamidaber, that so much of what transpires in this world, for positive and for negative, all come back down to what comes out of our mouths. And we have to be so careful. When we look later on in the Parsha, we find that Aaron's staff turned into Shkedim, it turned into almonds. The question that Chazal asks, why specifically almonds? And the answer is because almonds are very bitter when you first taste them, and then they're very soothing on the way down the palate. And that's why there's such a thing called almond milk. I never would have imagined something like that growing up, but it's actually quite good. And the idea is that the opposite is equally true. That Lashon Hara is very sweet in the beginning, but very difficult and bitter in the end. Unlike almonds, which are very bitter in the beginning and very sweet in the end. And that is synonymous with making shalom, making peace. That it's very difficult to make peace, but in the end, it's very sweet. So there's a concept here of Tzadik Katzamar Yifrach, that the Rosh Tevos of Tzadik Katzamar Yifrach is Korach. And we know that Shmuel HaNavi is a descendant of Korach. It's really powerful because, you know, in this week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu gets upset and he actually confronts Dathan v'Aviram, who did not want to come forward. And he says, you have to understand that whatever is going to happen in this instance is not from me. The pasuk ends by saying, ki lo milibi, it is not from my heart. And Moshe Rabbeinu says things to the effect, have I taken anything from Korach that he should be so upset at me? And this is the same language that I take one mule, one donkey. Now, why would he say that? Because as a leader, you're allowed to take things from your population of subjects. But Moshe didn't take advantage of anybody. He didn't take things that he believed were not his own. And Shmuel HaNavi on his deathbed says the same thing. Did I take anything from anyone that didn't belong to me? And of course, nobody came forward because that's how great Shmuel HaNavi was. He was able to say those things. But imagine if somebody had a taina and they say, yes, you did. How would he go ahead and reconcile this right before he would pass away? He was confident. And sure enough, he didn't take anything that didn't rightfully belong to him. The words kilomili bi are Rosh Tevos kalem. The Rav Shitzer Rav in his Sefer Zera Kodesh that I learned over the Shabbos, he says something very powerful. Imagine back then, everyone went to Bilam when they didn't like their neighbor. This guy parked in my spot. This guy has a fancier kitchen than I do. This one has more money. This one upset me. This one didn't say good Shabbos to me. You should go ahead and beg a haggad. All these people, kill them off. And people would wait in line to see Bilam only to get the non-blessing in order to remove people from this world. Imagine that such a thing could occur. An amazing thing. Moshe Rabbeinu says no. The word kilomili bi, the Rosh Tevos kalem, that's the very word that Bilam knew, the 1/56,000th of a second that Hashem gets angry. That's the word he would start to say. And that's what Bilam did every day for all the people that came to him for bakashos to harm and kill other people. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, my job in this world is to just invoke Hashem, Hashem, Kerachum, Vachanun, Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed V'Emes. All I do every single day is Bamidaber. It's what comes out of my mouth. You see what comes out of your mouth, and I'm going to tell you what comes out of mine. And everything that I try to do is always to lift the people up. And that's my tafkid in life. And imagine that we would take this message and go home with it, so to speak, and drive it home. So I just want to say that Bilam was the guy that people would wait in line to say that one word, Kalem, that 1/56,000th of a second that Hashem would get angry. And here Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Dathan v'Aviram, it's true, the things that you're saying are not pleasant to me, but I would never, ever fall to that level of my counterpart, so to speak, Bilam, who is here to curse people. There is an opportunity for anybody to get upset. But Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I have to be above all this. And my tafkid, my responsibility is to only invoke Rachum and Chanun, mercy and grace into this world. And that is the koach of speech, is when we have the potential to say something negative, but we don't. So I give everyone this bracha that, granted, Korach is the prime example of how machlokas can fester. And I'll close out with one irony that always struck me as strong. And that is that On Ben Peles's wife, we say in Chazal on her, that Chachmas Nashim Bansa Besa, that the wisdom of women is the foundation of the home. She knew that as Sheva Reuven is in close proximity to Sheva Levi, that they were going to be coming around his house and saying, okay, you have an issue, you have a gripe, but you got Korach. I take everyone's issues, everyone's gripes, and let's just gather them all together and let's, you know, fall upon Moshe and Aaron and tell them exactly what we're thinking. You know, she gave him a heavy meal with wine and he slept right through the morning. And while he was sleeping in his house, his wife took off her kerchief and she showed her hair. And the men saw her hair uncovered and they walked the other way. The irony about all this is that they weren't able to see a woman's hair uncovered, but they were prepared to go against Moshe Rabbeinu, who was known as the Eved Hashem. That always struck me as the greatest irony that I've ever thought about. And that's what it means, that how a wife can protect her husband. She knows, she said to him, what does it matter if Korach leads or if Moshe leads? The bottom line is that you're not leading. So you don't have anything at stake over here. You don't have any business getting involved in this machlokas. And she basically talked him out of it. And she basically was able to say, you know what, just stay the course and stay away from machlokas. The hardest thing in life sometimes is to get involved. But we have to learn from Aaron HaKohen and the message of the Shkedim, of the almonds, that it is very difficult to make peace between two parties, but it's very sweet in the end. So that's the messaging that we can take from Korach. And we take from Korach, Tzadik HaTzema Yifrach, that Uvnei Korach Lomesu, that there were great things that came out of Korach, but at the very moment that we experienced all of this, we had no idea how things would manifest. So everyone should have this blessing of Arichas Yamim V'Shanim Tovim, that when we think about Machlokas, we should try our best to deflate and not conflate. And we should try to find some way of bringing levity to something very serious and just trying to reduce the tension. If we see two parties at odds with one another, we should try our best to always seek the higher road. And in that way, we should always find collective and individual success. This is Mordechai Plaska wishing you the very best. Have a wonderful Hatzlacha-filled week.